Not sure. You got, what time am I supposed to be done? Just okay. It's not too bad up here, actually. Get your fingers get cold. Anyway, turn if you would to John chapter 8 this morning. John chapter 8. Pastor McGovern said, you know, why did I need a candle up here? Well, not thinking, you know, it's kind of cold up here. So, but anyway, I told him, I said, I'm going to preach another one of those deep theological sermons, and I need a little extra light to help me see and get through it. But anyway, I've never preached a deep sermon in my life, and I never will, because I'm just a very, very simple. I come from West Virginia, and it's a simple, down-to-earth, just tell the truth, and it's in your face. And a lot of people don't understand people in West Virginia, but a lot of them, they're just blunt. They'll tell you, you know, what's wrong. What's wrong with them, what's wrong with you, what's wrong with the world. But anyway, but God has blessed our ministry here, and we love Alaska. But now we travel between here and West Virginia, and the Lord Jesus. I want to, you know, the shop till I drop thing, it doesn't take me very long to drop when I'm shopping. But to serve the Lord till I drop. Now that's, you know, if I fall over dead in the pulpit this morning before I'm done, or right at the end, as soon as I am done, that would be perfect. But that'd be great for me. If I'm going to die, I want to die serving the Lord. So far I've been fairly faithful to the Lord over the years. But now I'm approaching the end of it, and I want to remain faithful. I got started right. So far I've stayed right, but I want to finish right. We watched the race down in Seward years ago, and I never forgot that race, that Mount Marathon thing. They run up the top of this mountain. I mean, just unbelievable anybody would actually do that. You know, I'd take a helicopter, but I did too much running in the Marine Corps, ran it out. But anyway, this one year, this young fella, he beat the record by just, I mean, like 45 minutes or something. I mean, it was ridiculous the time that he went to the top and back. But he got down, and we were standing, like we're standing here, and right over there at the foot of the hill would be like maybe that way at the edge of the street. We can see the finish line right over there. And his legs quit working. I mean, he would start to run this way, and his legs would go this way. Or one would go this way, one would go this way. And he would roll around, he'd get up, and he'd take off, and maybe the leg would go this way. He couldn't, his brain was telling it this way, but his leg said, no, I want to go this way. And he never did finish. People wanted to help him, and everybody said, don't touch him, don't touch him. No, and I'm saying, roll. He could have rolled across the finish line, but his body would not cooperate. He gave it everything that he had, but he was finished. And I want to be that dedicated when I finish this race. They say in April I'll be 79. Which, you know what comes behind that, 80. And how in the world did I get up here in this 80 bracket? Your life is a vapor. And I want to talk this morning just a little bit, and I'm not going to keep you long, but on time. Time is the most precious thing that you have. Paul wrote to the Corinthians, brethren, the time is short. We have, you know, we think, well, you know, man, Pastor Rex, you're going to be 80 years old here before long. What is 80? 80 is not even a grain of sand when you compare it to eternity. Where are you going to be 600 years from today? Say, well, I'm, Lord willing, I'm going to be in the ground. I'm going to be gone. This would all be over. Oh, no, 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 no. You're a soul that's going to live forever somewhere. God has placed us on this earth now. He's given us a job to do. And when we leave the earth, we're going to heaven or you're going to hell. You're going north, you're going south. You decide that while you're here. This is where you make that choice. And it's just hard for me to believe. Betty and I are going to be 80. That's a long time. But then again, it's not a long time. But God's given us a good life, and God has blessed us. I'm so thankful that here in John chapter 8, the Bible says in verse number 12, "Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." That's what I want to think about this morning, the light of life. Let's pray before we move on. Father, we love you this morning. Lord Jesus, I pray that you would bless this service. I pray that you would meet every need. Holy Spirit, do the work that only you can do. And Lord, I so thank you for the light that you've given to me. And Lord, I pray that you would just bless now the service. Have your will and way, I pray. In Christ's name, amen. The light that God gave us is the light of life. You know, we camp kids saying, "This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine." Now, if you would, Luke chapter number 18, or I'm sorry, Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11 and verse number 33, the Bible says, "No man, when he hath lighted a candle, putteth it in a secret place, neither under a bushel, but on a candlestick, that they which come in may see the light." God put a light in my soul 50 years ago this month, January 24th, 1976. That's 50 years ago, 76 to 26. January 24th, God lit a light in my soul. Jesus said, "I am the light of the world." And then he said, "Now, you're the light of the world. You're the light of the world. I'm the light of the world." And a candle, listen, this was meant to set up here, not back under here. Now, you imagine what's going to happen if I set that candle back under here and walk home. It's going to burn our building down. It's not going to do. This light is meant for you to see. I lit this so you could see it. If it was dark in here, if the power went out, you would really see this little light. That's the purpose of that light. But light a candle, it and putteth it in a secret place. That's no good. Neither under a bushel. That's no good. But it's got to be on a candlestick, out where the people can see it when they come in. Now, January 24th, 1976, God saved my soul. And God got a hold of this hell-bound sinner, hell-deserving sinner, and he saved me. And now he's given me this light, and he doesn't want me to hide it. He doesn't want me to cover it with a bushel. He wants it out where everyone can see it. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." When I got saved, several years ago, I preached a revival there on going out between Grafton and Morgantown. And the sheriff came. Jim Fawcett. And after the meeting or during the meeting, I can't remember, but he said, "Stanley, when you got saved, we were all excited. We're sick and tired of chasing you all over the place, and they couldn't catch me." That's what really irritated me. But I was like a loose cannon. I mean, my life was completely out of control, and I was a drunkard. But therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are become new. They're gone. They change. And my life changed. And now I've got the light of life in me. I remember sitting at Betty's sister, Francie. She died and went to her funeral. We're getting ready to go to the graveyard. Dave Hostler, a guy that was I used to drink with in bars and whatever. And Dave came over and leaned down against the car. He said, "What happened to you? Something changed you. What was it?" Well, he was seeing the light of life in my life. Now, first question I want to ask you is, do you have the light of life? Are you saved? If today, our son-in-law's mom, Dolores Finch, Dolores died. She's one, there used to be a little thing out here, some roses that she had planted, or we planted for her in her honor. But Dolores was sitting in her room in the house, rocking and knitting or something, and one of the grandkids sitting down at her feet. And her husband and daughter-in-law, they went outside on the porch just for 2-3 minutes, came back, and Dolores was sitting there, and she had fallen asleep in her rocking chair. And she was just there, the chair was still rocking. And her daughter-in-law said, "She looks like she just went to heaven." She did. She didn't drop a needle, she didn't drop anything, she didn't fall out of the chair. She just bowed her head and went to sleep. Chair still moving. And faithful. But no one expected that. I figured when Dolores dies, she'll overdose on vitamins. She liked all the Shackley stuff back then. Some kind of stuff they didn't bale at all. They just ground it up and put it in vitamins. Horrible stuff. But it's supposed to be good for you. Dolores would give it to us, and we'd give it to our kids. Betty'd eat some of it. I couldn't take the stuff. But what if today's your day? What if you don't walk through the doors? What if they come in and carry you out here on a gurney? You say, "Well, that couldn't happen." Listen, that's happened all the time across the world. I've got plenty of time, preacher. Lord willing, I hope you do, but you may not. But I'm not sick. Dolores was one of the healthiest people I've ever known. Nothing was sick about her. Her heart just stopped. And when God stops the heart, you're stopping. Yeah, but I'm not going to stop till God says. When God pulls the plug on this thing, you're done. So, and Jesus said, you must be born again. James 4:14 says, "Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away." You know, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine as long as God gives me life. But as long as I have the light of life, I'm going to share it. I want it out where everybody can see it. Everybody, you know, I got this little truck in West Virginia, and it's got all kinds of stuff on it. It draws people. And people will come to me, and what they're saying, "I love the message on your truck. I love," now it's patriotic and it is very Christian. And they say, "I love that, and you need the message. I've got the light of life, and I want to share it with you. I want to share it with people. Everywhere I go, I want people to come." I mean, they stop us all the time in the truck or the vet or the Mustang. I mean, they just come to us. They'll stop. They want, "Tell me about Jesus." tell me about this light that you have now. Where'd it come from? What is it? What's it all about? It's about the light of life. This morning I'm asking you, do you have that light? Do you have that light? The light of life. You know, God gave us life at birth. But it's a very short life. Like I said, I was born April 9, 1947. And pretty soon that's all going to end. And when it ends, then I step into eternal life. I step in, and it's going to be eternal life in heaven, not in hell. Hell's where I deserve to be. But I got saved January 24th, 1976, 50 years ago. Christ saved me, put a fire in my bones, and I've wanted to quit. You know, you don't have any idea how discouraged sometimes your pastor gets. I mean, sometimes you say, yeah, but he couldn't be discouraged. That's Pastor McGovern. Pastor McGovern is a man just like you're a man. You ever get discouraged? Is life going well with you? Well, sure. Some of you it is. Life's going good. But you still have times you're discouraged. Well, that happens to your pastor. That's why sometimes he just needs a pat on the back, a phone call, preacher, I love you. Praying for you, just want to let you know. Life is very short. We don't know when we're going to be leaving here. But the new life that God gives you, it doesn't end. John 10:28, the first verse that I ever heard in a Baptist church, first time I ever set foot in a Baptist church, this was the verse, John 10:28, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Romans 10:9 says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. It's not rocket science to figure out how to get to heaven. You can't earn it. You can't buy it. You can't be good enough. But you just simply trust Christ. Second question I want to ask you is, do people see the light of Christ, the light that God gave you? God saved you. God put His light in you. Can people see the light of life in you? I mean, people at work, do they see Christ in you? Do they see there's something glowing about you? There's something different. It's that light of life. Is your life out where people can see it, or is it hid? You know, you can go to a restaurant, you can tell where's a backslidden Christian, and they'll get ready to eat, and they just prayed over their food. See, they got that light hid. I think sometimes God's people think they can hide the light of life in their prayer closet. Prayer closet, that's where you get alone with God. You talk to God and you pray for people. And it's not where you go to hide the light. Is it hid? Or do you have it stuck under a bushel somewhere? The light of Christ. Listen, it's not just light. It's the light of life, says the Bible. It is so important. I've had people tell me so many times over the years, I don't need to tell people I'm a Christian. I know I'm a Christian, and that's just between me and God. It's personal. It's going to stay personal. You don't need to know whether I'm saved or not. It's personal. Just me and God. Well, that's a lie from the devil. Because God said, I gave you the light that you can let it shine. And that the world can see the light of Christ, which is the light of God. You know, God gave you eternal life, and along with that eternal life comes this eternal light. It's the light of life. The light of eternal life. Is your life hid? Is it all secret? Jesus said, I'm the light of the world. When you have Jesus, you have real life, you have eternal life, and you also have eternal light. You know, God put a fire in your bones. When God saves you, He puts a fire in you. And a lot of people, they go a little bit and it just kind of fizzles out. I've never wanted that. I've always hated the idea of that. Don't hide your light. Let everyone see it. And then the third question, I'm done. Has your light become darkness? What? Has your light become darkness? I want to show you something. Here in Luke 11, look at verse number 35. Take heed, therefore, that the light which is in thee be not darkness. Be not darkness. What does that mean? Look at verse 36. If thy whole body, therefore, be full of light, having no part dark, the whole shall be full of light, as when the bright shining of a candle doth give thee light. But look back at verse 34. The light of the body is the eye. Therefore, when thine eye is single, thy whole body also is full of light. But when thine eye is evil, thy body also is full of darkness. Has your light become darkness? You know, we've all got an evil eye. We've all got a nature. We've got an evil nature in us. And when you get saved, you don't get rid of that evil nature. You still carry it, but now you have a new nature. The new nature, that's when your body's single. You know, there's no part of darkness in it. You're fixed on Christ. You're fixed on the Word of God. Everything's on God, and you're Christ-centered, and it's everything is good. But when your eye becomes evil, the darkness begins to overpower the light that's in you. All of a sudden, people can't see your light anymore. Your light has become darkness. And that's a warning from God. Take heed, therefore, that the light which is in thee be not darkness. God wants us to shine. He wants us to shine so much all the little kids see us, want to be just like Josh Penix. I saw him a while ago. Josh, the little kids look at Josh and they want to be just like Josh. They look at you, they want to be just like you. You're serving the Lord, you're happy in the Lord. They see you're praying, God's answered, and you just got the joy of the Lord, and that's what they want. It's the light of life is shining through you, unless it's been overtaken by darkness. Listen, let us put on there the armor of light, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. You know, it's appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. The judgment. Revelation chapter 20, and verse number 12, we read, "And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things written in the books," plural. There's books, plural, and then there's the book, one, of life. Everyone that is saved, when you accept Christ as your Savior, your name is placed in the book of life. When we all stand before God, we will be judged out of the books. the books, that's where we're going to be judged from. The Bible, the Word of God, is going to be our judge. But our judgment, these books is your life's book. Now, I got a book here, Asylum for a Lunatic. This is about my life story. And it's a nice little book, Asylum for a Lunatic. I mean, I was a lunatic. I mean, I was out of my mind a lot, and I mean, I was a mess. But this is not the book that I'm going to be judged. When God opens the books on Stan Roach, it's not going to be this. You see, this book would read a lot different at the judgment seat of Christ. But there's a lot of stuff that's not in this book that I wouldn't put in this book. You wouldn't put in this book. You would not truly, honestly be, you know, write down every little dirty, filthy sin you've ever committed. You wouldn't do that. But the books that were just, it's all going to be read. God, you're writing the book of your life. You know, I wrote this book. I'm also writing the book on my life that's going to be read publicly in heaven. And that's going to be all of us. The most perfect Christian that you know of still has been flawed with sin. So this is something that we need to understand. Asylum for a Lunatic, a lot of things been left out of it. But it's all going to be read publicly when I stand before the judgment seat of Christ. You say, well, that's horrible. What are you going to do, Brother Roach? Keep a short record of sin. Listen, I ask God to forgive me of sins that I don't remember that I even committed. I mean, I want it all under the blood of Christ. And once it's under the blood of Christ, it is gone. But a lot of times, how many sins do you think you've committed in your lifetime? Not even thinking. Yeah, this morning coming in. I was coming in this morning, and I was getting on the big highway coming in, and it comes from Palmer, and this wrecker had a plow truck on the back of it come in, and he turns these high beam lights on. I can't see. I mean, it's hitting my mirrors everywhere. And I mean, I cannot see. And I thought, you know, somebody needs to run you off the road, put you in it. And I'm going to volunteer to do it. You know, turn those stupid lights off. But anyway, I mean, and pretty soon I'm saying, Lord, forgive me. Lord, forgive me. But how many times just driving your car have you sinful thoughts, sinful words? And you think God didn't hear that? I mean, it's all being recorded in your book that you're writing. In my book, my book that I'm writing, the one that's all going to come out. And it has to, for us to be a clean, purified, no sin in heaven, it's all going to have to be dealt with. So we're all going to be judged. When you're pointing a finger at Mitchell, you remember three of them pointing back at you. Anytime you're judging Arlene, there's with that finger, well, there's three fingers pointing back at you. And who am I to be your judge? Remember when you take communion and we should judge ourselves, that we should not be judged? You're the judge. You're writing your book on your life that will be read at the judgment seat of Christ. We will all answer. We will all answer. Those that are not saved, the white throne judgment. Those that are saved, at the judgment seat of Christ. But every knee is going to bow. Every knee is going to confess that Jesus is Lord. And every sin is going to be dealt with. Why don't we deal with it now? Has the light Jesus gave you become darkness? Do you know if you died right now, heaven would be your home? And you that we that are saved, if we confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive us. You know, a lot of young people ask me about salvation. You know, after they're saved, and the devil's beating them up, and I said, look, it's not rocket science. We confess, Jesus forgives. I confess, He forgives. I confess, He forgives. All through life, all through the day, all through the night. I sin, I confess, He forgives. I confess, He forgives. You ever think God gets sick and tired of hearing you confess so He can forgive? And sometimes I think, you know, the Lord, He can't have a lot of extra time because He's got me. I mean, maybe you need to get a hold of Him and He's over in the corner forgiving me and forgiving me and forgiving me. But that's the way it works. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. I want people to see the light of life in me. And I know you want to see that too. That's what invitations are for. That's Ms. Moffitt sings, that's what this altar is for. The altar is where you do business with God. And keep a short record of sin. And don't let the light that God put in you, don't let it go out. Don't hide it somewhere. Don't put it in a secret place. And don't put it under a bushel. Keep it out where everybody can see it. Father, I pray you'd have your will and way in this invitation now.